Hello everybody and welcome back to Steam and Steel, a podcast all about heritage railways. So today, my guest is Tom Peacock. He is a fireman at Llangollen Railway and does have some amusing stories to tell, along with a few other people we've had in the past. Tom is a legend, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy.
Tom, how are you?
Hello, mate. Yeah, not bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks for asking. Thank you so much on my little podcast. Really appreciate it.
No worries. No, it's been a good listen.
Oh, thank you. Always means a lot. Always does. So, tell everybody about yourself. Who are you and what you do?
Okay. Well, my name's Tom Peacock. I'm 28 years old. I work at a furniture factory in Deeside in the week, and as best as I can, try and help do whatever I can at Llangollen to help out at the weekend. Obviously, things have been a bit difficult the last sort of 12 months or so, but
they certainly have,
yeah. But now I've been I'm a fireman at Llangollen Railway. When did I start there? I think it's the summer of 2013.
Wow, you've been there a long time then.
Yeah, well, in the grand scheme of things, it's barely started compared to some of the lads that are there, especially some of the older lads who've been there 10, 20, 30 years. Like, it's
this is true.
But it's funny. I mean, it's been be 8 years this summer, and it feels like I've only been there sort of a couple of years. It's weird how sort of time flies. But It's something I've never regretted getting involved with, to be honest. It's the people I've met and the experiences I've had there have been fantastic. I mean, there's some of the people there at the railway who have become lifelong friends with. So it's been one hell of an experience. Like,
and it has. I'm saying it's strange. It's the only hobby where I think would you call it a hobby? Such, it sounds a bit wrong to call it a hobby. It sounds like you're playing with something, but you're not, are you? The term more lifestyle, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's not a hobby, it's a lifestyle.
Lifestyle, that's so odd. Lifestyle,
it's a lifestyle. Get on the batches, have a watch of that, you'll understand what it's all about.
That's it,
it's not a hobby, it's a lifestyle. No, it's
that's cool.
It is. It's quite, well, I say funny. It's quite an odd sort of hobby to have, really, given the responsibilities that come with it. It's not sort of like your Sunday league footy or a game of darts down the pub sort of job, is it?
No, it's really not. It is a weird one.
Yeah, it's all good fun. I mean, we all sort of get involved with the railway for pretty much the same reason, really, but over time we end up finding ourselves coming back to the railway more so for the people than the actual job itself, sort of thing. It's the social side of it is a big part of going back, really. I mean, obviously not so much in the last 12 months, but over the years, the social aspect of it has been a really big part of it, meeting up with your mates every weekend and just having a good crack, really.
Totally agree.
But at the same time, getting on with what you enjoy doing.
That's it. You are there to work as well, aren't you? So there is that side of it. You've got to graft.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's I know we all have a laugh and a joke, and we have had some pretty major laughs in the past,
we'll get on to that later.
But, at the end of the day, there's no one there that sort of neglects the responsibilities of working in that safety critical role or whatever it is you're doing at the expense of a laugh. Everyone is professional,
Yes.
But at the same time, when to have a laugh and when to be serious. And,
Yeah, of course you do.
But, it, that's the beauty of it. You know, you have your fun, but at the same time, you appreciate the responsibility you've been given.
Totally. Totally agree. Fair dues. So why did you choose Llangollen Railway then? Because obviously you live just over the other side of the Welsh border, so...
Well, I ended up at Llangollen, really, because I was involved with the LMS Patriot project very, very briefly for about 12 months or so prior to actually joining the footplate department at Llangollen. Obviously, when I got involved with the Patriot project, you sort of became a member of Llangollen to, you know, what's the word? Well, insurance purposes, you know, working in the shed.
Yeah.
So, you know, you become a paid up member, you know, you do a PTS and you sort of show, you know, the do's and don'ts of working in a shed and what have you. And I did two or three weekends, helping best as I could, you know, with a little, very little engineering experience that I had or still got, really. but it was in those short visits that, you know, I sort of got to see the behind the scenes, really, of how the footplate department and the shed aspect of the railway worked. And, you know, and straight away it was something I really wanted to get involved with. So, you know, almost immediately I got in touch with Chris Simon, who was our volunteer liaison officer at the time, and asked him, how do I go about starting? And that was it. You know, I started in, I think it was late summer 2013. And funnily enough, tongue twisted here. Can't get my bloody words out.
Take your time, man.
It's been a long day in work, mate. The day I started, you know, for me induction for the actual footplate, I bumped into Joe. And, you know, it was...
Hi, Joey,
if you're listening. And, you know, it was his first day as well. And it was funny, really, and we've been really good mates ever since. So it's been nice in the sense that as I've progressed through the various stages of coming through the footplate up to this point of being a fireman, you know, I've had a good mate there that we can bounce things off, you know, and we've sort of come through the ranks together, and it's been nice to see the progress, not only, you know, for myself, but for the likes of Joey and, you know, the people who have come in the past, like Rich, who you had on your show a few weeks back, another cracking bloke. He started a few years ago, and it's great to have seen him come through the ranks of being a cleaner and working his way up, and same with everyone else, and yourself included. I know we've had a few days on shed together, haven't we? And
We have. It's been great.
Yeah, you know, it's all about teamwork, you know, and
that's it. That's it. There's no I in team, but there is in me. Remember that.
You know, it's great. You know, there's very few people at the railway that, you know, you find that wouldn't go out the way to help or to try and advance your knowledge in some way. Or if, you know, no matter how daft the question you've got, you know, there's always someone there willing to answer it for you.
No, that's it. This is very true. So what I liked about Llangollen, what surprised me about Llangollen is, because obviously when I got taken for my induction, I was by myself. I wasn't with anybody. And, you know, it's because it was midweek, it was only the retired that were there because, you know, at the time everybody was working. So I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to be one of the youngest here. I was surprised at how many people roughly my age are actually there.
Yeah.
And it's quite nice in a way.
It is really, really good. I mean, particularly in the last few years, we've seen an influx of younger volunteers coming through the ranks, not just at the, you know, in the footplate department, but sort of across the board. You know, we've got you know, younger station staff, younger signalmen, younger guards, you know, and it's great to see, like you said, so many younger people getting involved and having the enthusiasm to drive it forward and carry on. You know, it's we are quite lucky in that aspect. I know there are quite a few places that, you know, struggle sort of appealing to volunteers and having that sort of influx of youth. So we are quite blessed in that aspect. But I think that's a credit to a lot of the older lads as well, you know, the lads who have been here for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You know, they made, particularly for myself, through my experiences, they made the place so welcoming. And
yes, you know, yes, they have.
You know, I mean, you all have a crack, and you know, you get the Mickey taken out of you a few times, like, but you know, at your own expense. But you know, there's a lot of encouragement from above to the people below, and I think that's quite a testament to the fact that we do have a healthy amount of younger individuals coming through.
Yes, this is very true. It's very true indeed. It's a great crack. I absolutely love going there, to be honest. Can't wait to get back to normal.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. You know. So, you're a fireman then?
Yes.
So, how did you progress up to fireman?
The same way everyone else did, really. So, I started doing it having rostered turns probably early 2014. Now when I say we, me and Joey started, we sort of went through a 6-month probationary period, so to speak. Where, you know, we weren't invited onto the roster. It was sort of a, you know, turn up at your own accord and crack on, which was great fun, you know, because you'd sort of turn up one weekend and, you know, there'd be the odd one or two individuals there who'd be there every weekend. But the more you went, the more you met different people. And the more the different people you met, the more you learned. You know, they all had sort of their own sort of bits and pieces to teach you and to pass on, which was great. You know, every weekend was a completely different story. You know, no two weekends were the same.
No, they're definitely not.
We were invited onto the roster early 2014 as cleaners, and you know, we had a few really good years as cleaners. Yeah, we had some cracking galas. I mean, we had the last Steel Steam and Stars gala, Steel Steam and Stars 4.
What was that about?
That was the Grange gala. That was an excellent gala. I mean, if you talk to some of the lads who have been lucky enough to experience past galas, they'll probably tell you that either two or three were probably the final ones. But being involved in a gala that size, with sort of the amount of people and the amount of locos and the amount of activity that was going on, was really something else. It was fantastic. Had some great experiences there. I met some great people. You know, there was sort of people that you'd passed sort of in the car park over the last year or so, and never really had the chance to sort of get to know, and sort of that weekend brought a lot of people sort of together that you wouldn't usually see. And that was a great event. That was a great experience. And beg your pardon. After about 18 months, 2 years, I was invited to sit a firing exam
to
pass cleaner. I actually, funnily enough, I actually failed my first exam.
Really?
Yeah, it was. But yeah, it's funny how it all came about. I mean, it was a terrible day. You know, like, from start to finish, it was horrendous. A proper white coat syndrome. Absolutely. Everything that go wrong did. You know, at one point I'd have no steam, and then 10 minutes later it'd be blowing its knackers off, and you know, well, nothing really changed on that aspect, like, but But no, it's funny because I actually failed that. Failed my first firing exam. But the lessons I'd learned from failing, when I took on to my second attempt and I passed, really, really drove home and stuck with me. And
yes,
you know, it's something that really, really does put you in a good place, because you know there's things that I hadn't done on that firing exam which I'd never really picked up on before. So it was a massive learning curve. So it was in failure, so to speak. You know, you'd learned something incredibly valuable.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you learn more from a fail than you do a win, don't you?
Oh Christ, I. Yeah, and that was a perfect example. To know it was probably the better thing to do was to fail. But no, I passed my firing exam in March 2016, I think, and then I spent 2 years as a pass cleaner. So in the sort of quieter months, it was predominantly cleaning turns. But in the busier months, particularly around summer, when there was plenty of firing turns, you're sort of lucky enough to pick up one or two firing turns, because you know the turns were there for the taking, and obviously the more firing turns you did, the more experience you learn. And it's funny really, because the bloke who actually did my exam, Matt Davis, I remember the words he said to me when I passed, and he said, "Right, this is where the lessons learned. This is where the real lesson starts now, and this is where you really start learning." And I sort of went in one ear and out the other, and I thought, yeah, okay, whatever. And no, you know, the bloke was spot on. You know, I learned so much more being out on the road myself, sort of learning from my own mistakes and how to get out of them and dealing with other incidents than getting your head stuck in a book. You know, it's quite an experience.
So as you just said, it's you know, sorry to take an analogy off you there, but with you saying on the road, it's like when you pass your driving test. When you pass your driving test, that's when you start to learn. It's the same thing.
Oh yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly the same concept. I passed. I was then promoted to fireman in early 2018, and from then on, it's been. That's some excellent firing turns with some really, really good, you know, great crews. It's sort of a shame that it sort of come to an abrupt end back in the last year. So,
it is a shame.
You know, fingers crossed we started back in the right direction.
No, definitely, definitely. You know, with everything that's going on, I think things will pick up soon, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's been difficult for, you know, a lot of companies and of course a lot of individuals as well, you know.
Agreed, totally agreed.
Has different effects on different people.
Yes, it does. So take us through a day then of what you get up to, you know, so like from start to finish.
In aspects of footplate or at work or?
Oh, sorry, footplate aspects.
Oh, footplate aspect, okay. All right, that's probably why I'm going to put most of your listeners to sleep now. If they haven't already.
I doubt that.
Okay, so if I've been lucky enough to have a cleaner, usually what I'll do is I'll give them a bell maybe the night before or a couple of nights before, you know, see how they're doing and see what the crack is and, you know, ask them if they've got any questions or if they want to know what time to be there. I usually sort of aim to give myself sort of a little bit of breathing space in the morning, give myself sort of half an hour extra just in case there are any issues you have to sort of overcome. Always try and get the cleaner there for the same time I book on, because it's there's a lot of stuff in the first half hour to an hour that, you know, you really sort of need to pick up on and not neglect as you progress, sort of thing. You know, they're just as important when you start as when you carry on. I mean, so I'd go and sign on fit for duty, have a look at the traffic notices, make sure nothing's changed, the temporary speed restrictions or any planned engineering works, or even if there's any planned events on, like weddings or any special trains or peculiar shunts, or, you know, anything that's out of the normal. If it's there, check the fault sheet. It's been left from the previous crew, so you're not sort of going in blind. You know, if there's an issue that is going to affect you, you know, you sort of have a head start on how to deal with it, or something to look for when you get to the loco. Make my way through to the shed. Stick a not to be moved board on, first and foremost. Have a walk round, just a quick walk round the engine. You know, make sure nothing's fallen off, like a wheel or anything there. just have a quick look. You know, it could be something as daft as that. You know, make sure that all the brake blocks are there, and, you know, they're intact. I mean, I've come to an engine before now where half a brake block's been missing, and it wasn't picked up on the fault sheet.
You know,
it's stuff like that. Literally, just have a walk around, and as daft as it sounds, make sure nothing's fallen off. You know, there's nothing out of the ordinary. Once you've done that, jump up. Make sure the loco's secure, so your regulator's shut. You know, it's mid gear, cocks are open, handbrake's on. Check the state of the water in the boiler. So we give the gauge cock a quick test, make sure the reading's true. Now, what I do is, this is where I failed on my first firing exam, is check your tools. So, of course, make sure you've got a paddle, a rake, a dart. Make sure they're all in fit condition, like the end's not going to fall off or something daft. Make sure you've got spare gauge glasses and rubbers, first aid kit, burns kit, gauge frame spanner. Once you're assured you've got all these and they're all in good nick, and you've checked your water and the loco's safe, have a look around the firebox. So pull the baffle plate out, and if need be, the protector ring. Have a quick look around, make sure there's sort of no major leaks. You know, brick arch is in good condition. It's not collapsed in on itself. And then check the fusibles. Check the fusible plugs. Make sure they're intact. You know, there's no sort of obvious fizzing or any sort of leaks or any obvious signs of damage or failure.
Yeah.
That's your crucial one. Is check them bloody plugs, like, because I've come to an engine in the past where the core's actually been split, you know, and it's no fault of either crew. It's literally just the lads failed. But again, you know, if
do you want to explain to people what a fuse plug is?
Well, I'll have to get my head in the black book for this one.
We'll come back to that.
Usually you'll find two of them, one at the front, one at the back of the crown of the firebox, the top of the firebox. And the insert, the fusible plug is lead. It's got a lower melting point than steel. So if you have got a low water incident, the lead will melt and it will fail. And the excess pressure or water, steam, anything that's left in the boiler will make its way through that hole, and you'll know you've got an issue. Like,
So it's a safety thing, isn't it?
But obviously, you really don't want to get to that point. That's
you don't.
Last chance saloon, really. You really don't want to be dropping the plug. Touch wood.
No.
Yeah, we are very. I wouldn't say lucky, because, you know, it is something that is genuinely taken really seriously. And is handled with the utmost respect, because you really really don't mess around with that sort of thing.
No, you don't.
No, it's we are we are quite sensible with that. Sensible with everything, really. You know, it's say so, like we're sort of what's the word? Particularly sensible with that, but it is something that you do keep an eye on. Particularly before lighting up. But once you're satisfied the firebox is in good condition and firebox is in good condition and you've got all your tools and you've got your water and loco safe, it's jump around the front, open up the smoke box, have a look for any obvious signs of leaking. So you want to see if there's any water running down the tube plate or out the tubes, which would tell you that there's a tube's gone or a tube on the tube plate is on its way out. Have a quick look round at the superheater header and the elements if you're on a loco that's superheated. Have a look at the main steam pipes. Have a look around the blower ring. Check that the ash is fairly level. It's a good indicator if all the ash is blown to one side is you've got either block tubes or something's blowing, whether that's a steam pipe or a tube or a superheater element. So a level ash can tell you things are all right. Once you're satisfied everything at the front end's good and safe and in good nick, it's a case of emptying the ash, which is always fun.
Lovely job.
It's always great at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's blowing an absolute hoolie, usually into your face.
Yes, it is.
That's always good fun. Sort of a job that's sort of followed by a coffee and a fag. Because you sort of you really can't be arsed progressing anywhere past that once you've done that job in bad weather. You then jump back onto the foot plate. Make sure your smoke box door is sealed tight and most of the ash is out. If you're lucky enough to have a loco like the standard four that's got a rocking grate, give the old great a good rattle, a bit rattle and bang, get the ash out. If it's something like 51 or 64, where you're lucky enough to have a sort of a partial rocking grate, you can sort of make light of the work of getting rid of the ash. But locos like the 38, it's a different story. That can be quite an arduous task, particularly if the fireman the day before has been a bit sort of not stringent on the coal, shall we say. It's that can be another fun job, particularly if you've got some terrible quality coal. I mean, the clinker can be absolutely fantastic. More than one occasion, sort of have to either send yourself in a cleaner to break up a slab of clinker because you can't even get it out the door, which is always fun. And then once you've done all that, you make start lighting your fire. It's funny really because, again, progressing as a cleaner, being on with different firemen, and I'm sure you'll experience this yourself if you haven't already, is every fireman has a different technique to lighting up, and it's interesting to see different techniques and how they work. Over time, you sort of you pick up either your own technique or you find one that's best for yourself. You know, some firemen will light a fire under the brick arch, or some will light it up the back. Or, I mean, I've seen some firemen light it down the sides before now. The best technique I was taught and sort of still use now and still pass on to cleaners that I'm on with is a technique with.
I'll get the notebook.
I've already taught you this, Matt. I've already taught you this. I hope you've remembered. It was It was
yes,
a technique
I have.
Taught to me by a cracking bloke called Pete Fitz. Learned a lot from Pete Fitz. If you've not met him yet, he is an absolute gent. He is old school, but he's got so much patience and so much time. He's nothing's too hard for anyone. He'll teach anyone anything if you want to know. Fitz,
I like people honestly, like that.
If you're lucky enough to have a day with Fitz, even if it's on shed, he's a fountain of knowledge, and you can listen to him talk for hours because he's like your granddad almost, you know. He's a top level.
Yeah,
but it was his technique that sort of stuck with me. Obviously, when I think it was the first turn I was on with him, and I'd had all these different firemen showing me different techniques, and Pete Fitz is one of these blokes who very much sort of like, right, you get on with it and you show me what you can do. Instead of sort of having to clean the step back, he sort of lets you get on with it. And he says, right, go on, get the fire lit. And I think at the time I sort of made a right mess of it as usual and sort of had like 3 or 4 different fires burning in different corners. And he was like, what on earth is that? I was like, oh, that's the technique I've been taught by so-and-so. And he's like, listen, just get it in. It doesn't matter where it burns, just get it in. I was like, what do you mean? Just get it in. And that's it, you know. I mean,
that's it.
Different firemen will teach you different things. But at the end of the day, it all does the same things. So just get it in. Yeah.
Just make sure. Get it exactly. In. Just get it in itself. There.
So, yeah, once you've got your fire lit, you know it's not going to go out, which, again, has done on me many times. Give the cleaner a hand, you know, because we've all been in the position of the cleaner where, you know, you turn up, the weather's crap and, you know, it's a huge end, you know, an end
yes.
Like the 38 or when we had the 5 and you sort of stood there on your own looking at it and the pouring rain, you think, oh my God, how am I going to do this? So, you know, it's many hands make light work, so to speak. And, you know, it's the same with the drivers. You know, there's, you know, a lot of drivers who, well, once they've done their bit, they'll chip in and get clean. And it's how it should be, you know, teamwork from the start. Yeah, there are some
agreed
cracking drivers. And again, there's cracking firemen who, you know, there's no rank privileges. You just, when you're on shed, get on with it. You know, you've all got your own responsibilities and your own duties, but once they're done, you know, and you're confident that everything's done and safe and, you know, you're heading in the right direction, pick up a rag, get cleaning.
Well, that's it. It's like us two on Foxy that day. We got her cleaned up and she was looking beautiful, wasn't she, after we polished her up.
Again, you know, a loco like Foxco, it's a pleasure to clean, you know, because it's so sort of well looked after, you know. There's it's easy to clean. You know, if it's kept clean, you know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
You know, there's you know locos that I've worked on in the past that look like they've been at it with a sledgehammer. You know, it doesn't matter how much you try scrubbing it, you can't polish a turd. You know, but you know it's the effort. You know,
this is true.
It is what it is. You know, you make an effort, you do your best, and you know you do it as a team. And I think that's the most important bit is. You know, there's no sort of rank privileges like, you know, sitting in the footplate staring at the pressure gauge waiting to go up for 4 hours because, you know, it does no one any favours. And it just makes the day hard for everyone. So, you know, make sure you prioritise your own duties. And then once they're done, do something else. That's it.
Do whatever else needs to be done.
Benefit everyone else.
Exactly.
Oh,
even
yeah,
if it's just
yeah,
breaking pallets.
Again, you know, a vital job, you know, breaking up the pallets, keeping the yard
tidy. Of course it is.
Emptying the pit. That's everyone's favourite job. But something is.
Oh, yeah.
Something is wash it down with a hose pipe afterwards. You know, I mean, I'll lock my hands up. I've done it before where, you know, you haven't got a cleaner and you're rushed off your feet and it's. Bail what you can into a wheelbarrow and, you know, get the last dregs up, bang it in, bang it out, jump on your engine and bugger off. And you come back at the end of the day. And...
Well, I say, if you haven't got a Exactly. If you haven't got a cleaner, it's a bit different then, isn't it? Because you're quite restricted.
You know, taking 5 minutes to get the hose out and give it a good swirl down, it just makes it a better experience for everyone else, you know, particularly the crew that are going to come in the next morning and work in it, because, you know, it's again, it's teamwork, not just for the people that you're on with that day, but the people that are going to come in the following day. Of course, yeah.
It has a knock-on effect.
I'd like to think that, you know, if you make an effort for someone else, that'll rub off on them, and, you know, the circle continues, you know, and everyone has an easier time of it.
Well, that's it. Totally agreed.
But yeah, it's been one hell of an experience, and
yes, it has.
It is time consuming, and it does require a lot of patience. I mean, we've had sort of past clean. Well, we've had cleaners come and go in the past who have, I wouldn't say lack the patience, but, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But, you know, it shouldn't be a chore.
Yeah.
It's, like you said, it is a hobby. And we're all there to enjoy it. So anyone that's, you know, listening, who is, it, you know, enjoys going to steam railways or, you know, doing photography or anything, give it a go. You know, go to your local railway. Pick up a volunteer form. Give it a go. Try it out.
Exactly. Totally agree.
You know,
totally agree.
Exactly. You know,
best thing I ever did.
I don't. There's absolutely nothing about what I do that I regret. And in fact, if anything, I regret not doing it earlier. I mean, I started.
I do. That's exactly what. Yeah. Same with me. I regret it as well.
If I could have, I'd have started at 18. Just have done a few extra years.
I was going to say, I started at 28. I wish I'd have started at 21, yeah, let alone 18, you know.
No, if you're, you know, wondering to yourself, what more can you do? Get involved. Get a membership. Volunteer. Wherever's local to you or wherever's...
Exactly.
I mean, I've seen people volunteer, you know, say they live at point A, and they've got a railway, you know, 30, 40 miles down the road, but they'll volunteer at a railway 120 miles away. You know, it's if that's doable for you, crack on. But I can only recommend going local. You know, and for me, when I joined Llangollen, and I was living in Prestatyn at the time, I was living with my mum. So it was only sort of 35, 40 minutes away from me, which was ideal, because if it was any closer, I'd have probably spent more and more time there and neglected other things at home, like my job or my missus at the time. but it's not too far away, you know, and it's sort of somewhere you can get to quite easily. But it's the same now, you know. I consider myself lucky enough to sort of be in a similar situation where I'm only 45 minutes away, which is ideal, because if it was any closer, I'd fear I'd be there more often than I should be, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's about 45 minutes for me as well. And if it's closer, I know I'd be there more.
I mean,
I'm the same there, but
I'm lucky, very, very lucky, incredibly fortunate to be in a position where I have a very, very understanding missus, because she's also a fireman. So it's lucky, really, that if one of us fancy going to the railway, it's like, right, go on then, off we go. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of married men out there that are sort of tied to the marital chain, you know, and sort of have to get a pass to get out because it's a missus or a wife that's not as understanding. So, I consider myself incredibly blessed on that front, and she's a wonderful person.
She is.
But yeah. Get involved. If you're listening to this and you know, you love your railways and you, whatever it is, whether it's photography or going out on rail tours or travelling on heritage lines, get involved, because it opens so many opportunities out. It's fantastic, and it's It's excellent.
It really is. It is. So, with you being at the railway for a long time, I've got a real tough question for you. This is going to be a toughie, I reckon, for you. What is your perfect loco? Pulling.
Easy.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, I was expecting like it.
No, no. I've been lucky to have some excellent turns on some really, really good locos. But for me, if I had a checkbook and an agreeing owning group. Oh yeah, 46.521. Fantastic loco. I had a weekend with it as a cleaner, probably back in about 2014, 2015, when it came for a gala then. And it was fantastic. It was a great experience. Perfect for the line. In fact, I think it was, someone's going to correct me if I'm wrong, it was one of the last few to run across the line before it shut in 1963. It's a local old bird, like. But I had a firing turn on it in 2017 when it reappeared for another gala. And it was, it was a fantastic bit of kit. It's easy. That's an easy question. Easy question.
Oh, fair dues. I thought it was because... Oh, okay. Hands up. I was expecting that to be a bit tougher, to be honest with you.
It's a credit to the owner. It really is. It's fantastic. It steams on a candle and it'll... down if you want it to. It's a really enjoyable bit of kit.
Oh, fair play. So also, with you being at the railway for a long time, and I've been dying to ask you this question from the start, have you got any amusing stories of things that have happened?
Plenty of amusing stories, but I'm not sure if any of them, or many of them, are legal or broadcastable. And if some of the individuals are listening who know these stories, they'll probably back me up. I think one of the better stories, I won't name names, one of the better stories I like telling people is a time, but it's happened twice, funnily enough, with two different drivers. Funnily enough, on the same loco, Black 5, 45337, and both occasions have occurred on night runs. Now, Chainbridge Hotel overlooks the River Dee at Berwyn. You can probably see where I'm going with this. On both occasions, I've sort of gone past sort of the dead of night on real ale trains or something of that ilk, and end up catching people very unawares, very awkwardly. And it's
the honeymoon suite.
On both occasions, sort of the drivers were made it known to the very sort of unaware residents by literally hanging off the whistle until the curtains get drawn.
Love it.
It's funny. I mean, some of the sights you see are just unreal. I mean, another funny one was, I think I was firing the Manor. And it was definitely a gala because we got about six coaches behind us and they were rammed. I think it might have been the Cambrian gala where we had both Manors. And we're coming up to Carrog. And as you approach the distance signal, there's a gap in the trees when you make the right-hand turn where you can just, if it's the right time of year, you can just make out the home signal before you get to the bracket. And we come around the corner and see it's at danger. So I'm sort of bring it to a stop. And as you come to the stop, there's a field, a farmer's field, next to the old P wave up. And as we come around this corner, I can see something right in the corner of the field. And I'm sort of at a distance from the steam. I'm like, what the hell is that? And as you get closer and closer, we find this very, very unaware couple on what looked like an inflatable, an inflatable airbed. And the driver stopped, again, won't name names, the driver stopped dead centre to the cab to where they were sitting just because he knew he could. And it was the most awkward 5 minutes of your life, because it was almost as if the Bobby knew, because he was just, the signal did not move. And I actually found myself arguing with the driver about who was going to get off the loco to go and ring the box after 2 minutes to find out what the hold it was, because neither of us wanted to get off the footplate to confront this couple. And it was like, and I don't know who was
brilliant.
Who's on the footplate, or this poor couple. But it got much worse for him, because then the signal pulled off. But of course, then most of the people on the train had already twigged what was happening in this field. So as we pull past this signal, you've got six coaches full of people staring at this poor couple trying to quickly roll up this airbed and put the clothes on as quick as they possibly can. It's
fantastic. It's
some of the stories and some of the sights you see are just absolutely staggering. I mean, the other old favourite is around about the time we used to do the 60s gala. And it always, funnily enough, yeah. I don't know whether it was pre-planned or not. I'm sure someone will either own up to it or deny it, one of the way. But there was a sort of a hippie commune that would always turn up at the campsite at Glenduffery, just west of Glenduffery. All weekend, it didn't matter where it was, sun shining or hailing or absolutely belting it down with rain, they were always skinny dipping in the river. Always. And again, it's almost as like... some of the sights you see are just absolutely unreal. I mean, you wouldn't believe it unless you'd seen it yourself, and you think, my God, it's a crazy old place. But no, there's so many tales about, you know, working on the footplate and working in the shed and, you know, just being out and socialising with people.
Yeah. So what's been your most memorable moment then, if that makes any sense? What's your favourite memory, shall we say?
Oh, Christ. I cannot pinpoint a particular moment, but if I was to give you an example now, it'd be I can't remember what gala. It might have been a 60s gala. It might have been a Steel, Steam and Stars. But years ago, anyone that's familiar with, or anyone that volunteers at Llangollen will be aware of the Coach of Death. Which is a sleeping coach owned by a couple of the senior lads. And for years, it was sort of the regular digs for volunteers such as myself and Joey and Ian Ross and a few other lads, and Matt Jackson would pop in every now and then. And some of the stories that happened there, but this particular gala, there must have been the best part of well over a dozen of us in this sort of tiny sort of saloon that would only really sensibly sleep about four people. And there was there must have been about 12 to 15.
Oh dear.
And it's the early hours of the morning. And you know, those who weren't on duty had had a few drinks, and those who were on duty the next day were desperately trying to get to sleep. And Darren Churn, one of our drivers.
Evil.
If you get the chance, go on YouTube and Google Rutland Weekend Television. Utter gibberish, it's called. And it is exactly what it says on the tin. It's five minutes of utter gibberish. And he comes out with it word for word. Absolutely incredible. God knows how he did it. But he just did it word for word. And it was like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he'd come out of absolute nowhere. And it was just one of these moments where you could hear a cockroach fart, because everyone was absolutely fascinated to hear what he had to say. And then at the end, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
And I was like, where the hell did that come from? you know, it sounds daft, but it's one of those occasions where you have to be there to appreciate the genius of it. But that was certainly a very memorable moment. Funnily enough, sort of sleeping in the coach, as I'm sure Steph will attest. Apparently, I have quite a bad snore. Sort of tend to keep a lot of people awake when I start snoring. And the things I have had thrown at my head over the years, I've had everything from metal tins to safety boots to even having a loco headboard thrown across the room before, and I'll shut you up. It's again, you know, it's sad that we don't really have this social scene at the railway anymore. Going back even say 5 years ago, every weekend was an absolute blast. You know, there was always someone to have a drink with or go out for a meal with. And every weekend was a completely different story to the last. You know, even if you weren't on duty, you know, even if you hadn't got a cleaning turn or a firing turn, you'd still rock up just for the social side of it because you knew you were going to have an absolutely cracking weekend. And I think that's something that, you know, yourselves and a lot of the new starters have been sort of not had the experience of having, which is an absolute shame.
No, I must admit, I haven't experienced that yet, which is a shame, but I'm sure it'll come back.
We can make, you know, it's you make it what it is, you know. You it doesn't just happen by itself, you know.
Of course not.
We had our own sort of usual gang that we'd all go out for a few drinks with and get up to mischief with, and you know, generation before us had their own gang, and you know, it was the same group of people that, you know, got up to mischief every weekend, you know, and you know. We've just got to carry that on because, you know, a massive part of being a volunteer is the social side of it. You know, it's not just about going out and playing trains and doing your thing. It is about interacting with the people that you meet there and who do become really good mates with, you know, and share these memories with.
Well, they're your team, aren't they? Mm. You've got to build that team, haven't you?
And, you know, it holds you in good stead for, you know, when you are out on the road, you know, because, you know, I've been lucky enough to have footplate turns with a lot of my good mates who, you know, I socialise with, and I've even been lucky enough to sort of have a few turns with Steph. Yeah, when you do build up that relationship of trust and understanding, but you know, you also got to sort of respect what they're doing. You know, and don't take it as a game because you're on with your mate, you know, and I think that's again a testament to the system and the way that we are at Llangollen is that, you know, no one neglects that. Everyone sort of has that respect for how things should be in a safety critical role. Doesn't matter who you're on with. It could be your best mate or your worst enemy. But when you're out there, you've got the respect for the job you're doing, you know, and the safety that you've got to uphold.
Yes. Mm. Yes, you have. Fair dues. So, with you being a rail enthusiast, then, do you actually model?
I'm ashamed to
you say have a little layout?
I really do. I honest to God, I have not got the patience for it. I really don't. I'm one of these people where I would rather just go out and buy one that's already done. I have got nothing but admiration.
Okay, yeah, with
people
you.
People that spent hours and hours and thousands of pounds building model railways over the years. I look at it in awe and go, fair play. I couldn't do it. Honestly, God, I genuinely couldn't do it. Yeah,
fair play.
It's a funny one.
I never knew that.
I'm sort of one of these people that just admires everyone else's models. you know, and everyone else's garden railways. I sort of go, oh, that's cracking, that. Fair play.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So obviously, Llangollen's a home, you know, as we've said. Is there any railways that you like to visit then, you know, if there's somewhere that's like, oh yeah, I like going there.
Outside of Llangollen, my personal favourite is probably the Keighlingworth Valley. It's more so personal reasons. I was growing up, my grandma lived in the area. When I used to go up and see her, we was just end up having a day at the Keighlingworth Valley, and you know, she's no longer with us. She passed away a few years ago, but it's got a lot of happy childhood memories. It's one of these places where, you know, keep going back to with a smile on my face. And aside from that, it's got a, you know, the whole setup they've got there is absolutely fantastic. There's a lot of atmosphere, and the, in particular, the beer fests there are outstanding. They are excellent. If you've never been to a Keighley Beer Festival, give it a go. Ooh. Honest to God. It's, well worth the journey. Seven Valley is another.
That sounds like a plan.
It's a cracking railway. East Lancs, again. But a railway that's been nice to see come on leaps and bounds in recent years is actually the Rail Miniature Railway. Beg your pardon. Grew up in Prestatyn from sort of my early teens up until I was about 25, and sort of seen the various stages of how sort of the Marine Lake Railway at Rill had sort of gone into a state of decay and sort of started falling in on itself. And but the work that the lads there do at the moment, particularly a good mate of mine, Justin Bell and his dad, the work they do there is outstanding, and sort of the success they've had is a real credit to what they've done there. It's great to see, but it does the area well. You know, it's nice to see, you know, an area that is synonymous with being quite run down and neglected to sort of have that little bit of pride in that area. You know, it's nice to see, and it does the locals good. You know, it's nice, and it's nice to see when they do events that
agreed,
a lot of local people turn up to support it. So
nice. Fair play. Well, all I can say is, Tom, is thank you so much for being a guest. I could have carried this on for hours, if I'm honest with you. Do you know what I mean? But I am more than welcome. But before you go, I've got the quickfire questions for you. These are the important ones.
Try my best.
Are you ready for this? Question one. What's your favourite beverage?
Question. At the moment, it's probably Shiraz. As we're talking, I'm sort of making my way through a bottle of Eagle's Pass from South Africa. It's very nice. So at the moment, I'll go with a nice bottle of red at the minute.
Oh,
Pepsi Max.
Fair play. What about soft drink?
Rots your teeth.
Oh, never mind.
It's all right.
So question two.
Ooh, meat and tater.
What's your favourite pie?
Oh, yeah. Get it.
Oh, the good old traditional meat and tater pie. Love it.
Get on it. Wigan. Oh. Anyone that's
I've had a Wigan kebab, they are amazing.
In a bath, that's it, and it sounds plain as hell, but it is the future. It's the future.
It really is.
Oh, mate, that is
along with a deep fried Mars bar. It's the future.
To come, a Wigan kebab.
It really is. I do agree. Okay, so for the last question.
Football.
What's your favourite sport?
This is something that a lot of people know at the railways. I do follow the footy quite avidly. I have been a lifelong fan of Crewe Alex. I was born in Crewe. I grew up in Crewe. And I used to go to the games quite regularly. My dad at the time was a doorman at the Alex. So every weekend I'd end up sort of cadging a free match. I'd just go to work with him and end up finding an empty seat. So the footy's quite good at the minute. We're doing well. We're doing all right.
Oh. Good stuff. Love to hear that.
Right.
Love to hear it. Right, Tom. Well, it's genuinely been an absolute pleasure and a privilege to have you as a guest on my Humble Bundle podcast.
Enjoyed it.
Top man. I'm glad you've enjoyed it, mate. Thank you very much for coming on.
Good man.
Oh, I plan to, and thank you very much for that. It means a lot.
Yes, you too, mate.
So you stay safe, and I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Okay, ta-ra. All
right, thanks, everyone.
Okay, so a huge thank you to Tom there for that interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you did too. My next guest is going to be Joey Wellstead, who is paid staff at Llangollen Railway, and he has a slightly different insight. So, stay safe, everybody, and I'll see you in the next episode.